We are all, of course, familiar with adult novelty products, but there's a new sheriff in town sweeping the industry by storm with their creative and high-quality products. We are so pleased today to have Derek from Bad Dragon joining us to discuss their exciting brand. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Awesome.
I have to tell you, Derek, we did a podcast probably a week and a half ago, and I do another show with a friend of mine, and Bree and I were talking, and I was like, there's this website that we went on because we had a dominatrix on our other show. And I said, they had the most amazing products and everything like that. And we both, and she goes, oh, I know what you're talking about. They have like all the, like the monster kind of ones and everything. Like, so we ended up straying from our topic so fast because we're looking on your website and going through all the products and everything like that, you know? So
half our podcast was just Googling all over your website, just looking at everything.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So cool. I mean, it's so creative and everything like that. You know, for our listeners, maybe that aren't familiar with Bad Dragon, can you maybe give us a description of what types of products you guys offer?
Oh, absolutely. So what Bad Dragon is a fantasy toy company. So a lot of our roots are based from the furry community. So a lot of it is like anthropomorphic characters from like, you know, different mythos, stories, media, both current and old. So a lot of them are based off of those characters. And obviously being adult products, it's more of like, you know, the nether regions or like, you know, more sexually oriented.
And then how did you guys decide to move forward with that? So you had the idea and the inspiration, and then where did you go from there?
So as I was mentioning, it's the roots are founded in the furry community. So from that, we kind of like outreached like, you know, different anthropomorphic characters, story, mythos from any kind of media. I think it's safe to say probably the largest proponent of like the ideas that come from Bad Dragon is from the internet, where like, you know, just like, you know, communities gather around or like, you know, stories are shared or like, you know, research is done on like, you know, current or older media. And we come up with these ideas for characters, design them, create them, and then make either toys or products out of them.
This is so amazing and so out of my realm that I imagine that you had to have friends, family, or even, I don't know if there were investors involved or anything that was like, what are you guys doing? Like, did you guys deal with any of that?
Definitely. Especially when it comes to like the initial startings of the company. So to kind of like, you know, give the very, very quick summary, like regarding the company, it was, Varka, a member of the furry community, as well as our CEO of the company, wanted to make anthropomorphic toys, but he saw that like there was nothing on the market that like, you know, had these kind of toys that he was looking for. So he just decided to make some of his own. So he made some of his own, kind of showcased like, you know, his friends, like, you know, the items, like, you know, any of his followers. And I think even like, you know, his family, like, you know, over time, kind of showing these products, and they're like, wow, this is so cool. Like, how do I get one? So, and then the idea sprung and he's just like, huh, people want this kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a really cool opportunity
here. Really cool. I mean, so maybe explain to some people that wouldn't know what the furry community is.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. So, the furry community, there's a lot of different angles that people come into the furry community for, but in general, they're anyone, like any individual that likes anthropomorphic, which is humanistic animal characteristics. Okay. So like Anubis, Bugs Bunny, mm-hmm. All those things, like human characteristics on animals. And if you like, you know, like that from like, you know, media, cartoons, video games, mythos, etc., there's a community of people that also like that called the furry community.
Is it bad to say, like, you know, it's sort of like a cosplay kind of thing, or is that a no-no to say in that community?
Oh no, absolutely. Okay. That's a great way of saying it. A lot of members of the community are heavily into cosplay. Mm-hmm. It's a very creative community.
Yeah.
So like, kind of like, you know, going back to like anthropomorphic characters and like mythos and stories.
Yeah.
Like people hear about these things, but then they're like, well, what if I imagine something like that?
Right.
Like, you know, could I make a character like that? So a lot of people have what's called a fursona, which is the personification of like, you know, either themselves as a furry character or as an anthropomorphic character, or like, you know, kind of like their best traits,
right.
For instance. It's really like up to your imagination how you want to go about it. But kind of like what you were saying, Jim, regarding the cosplay, a lot of people, like, you know, have fursuits in the furry community, mm-hmm. and kind of like, you know, showcase their characters in real life,
right.
As best they can. Or they, like, you know, do it through, like, you know, artwork, stories as well, and really just keep the engine going.
And so you know how I know about the furry community, which is probably going to be ridiculous, but is from Entourage, the show Entourage. I don't know if you're
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
There was an episode where, oh my God, I can't think of his name. Johnny, what was his name in that show? I forget what his name was, but him and Turtle was looking, they were in a competition with Vince and Eric about who can get laid quicker. And turns out Turtle starts looking on Craigslist ads or something like that. And he finds this girl who's like smoking hot and he's like, there's no way. And she's like, I want you to wear like a red shirt or something or a red hat and I'll meet up with you. And he meets up with her and she's like, she gives him like a ticket. She goes, pick this up and meet me at my house at whatever time. And so he's like, whatever. And all of a sudden he goes to like a cleaner's and he like picks up this pink rabbit suit. He's like, what the fuck is this? Johnny Drama's like, dude, she's a furry. And he's like, fucking furry. And they like go through this whole thing. And then he's like, you got to do it, man. We'll win the competition or whatever if you do it. He's like, oh, God, I don't want to do it. I'm not dressing up in this fucking rabbit thing. The whole thing. At the end of the episode, he bails and Johnny takes the rabbit suit and goes in and you see him banging the girl with the rabbit suit. It was pretty funny. That's how I ended up knowing about furries.
Oh, I have so much Googling to do. I'm the worst porn star ever. Okay, we have a segment on our podcast where Jimmy gives me sexual acronyms and I have to try to guess what they are. Never know any of them. Mm-hmm. And now with this furry community, I'm going to be Googling after listening to back this podcast. I'm going to have to see what all these terms mean and you never know. I may become a furry. We'll see.
Hey, there we go. There we go. Maybe you'll be getting the pink bunny costume, right?
Yes.
A rabbit costume or a cat costume. Yeah. Bree's a cat person. So.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, there we go.
Meow. Okay. So try to get back on track here. So with that.
I strayed with my entourage.
I feel like with every company, there is challenges in making everything come to fruition. What would you say was the biggest challenge for your company?
So that's a great question. It kind of comes in twofold because not only are we an adult company, but we're also a sort of niche adult company, given that we're a fantasy toy company outside the realm of, like, you know, just your standard, like, you know, human dildo or, like, you know, human vagina.
Right.
Sure.
So some of the biggest challenges come with marketing the product and the company to individuals. Because as you know, like, you know, since it is still an adult product, even though we've come a long way when it comes to, like, you know, taboos or like kind of more normalizing sex positivity mm-hmm. among everyone, there is still that kind of taboo among cultures. So you can't, like, you know, really market or brand it as well as you can, like, you know, say a non-adult product. So you have to be kind of smart and diligent on how you showcase the product as well as reach out to customers, both new and old. But then the other thing, like, you know, kind of the twofold aspect of it is because we are a fantasy toy company, we also have to consider, okay, like, you know, which communities can we showcase to?
Yeah.
That this is a sort of, like, you know, niche product. Is there, like, you know, like even legality issues depending on the country? Like, is there, like, you know, something that we can, like, you know, do or say
right.
to kind of, like, you know, make it so, like, everyone is cool with it. They can kind of see our message, but not have, like, you know, paragraphs upon paragraphs just to, like, understand what the product is. So we have to be, like, you know, very smart on how we, like, showcase and brand the product as we do our marketing.
That is really interesting. And you brought up different countries and legalities, which makes me wonder, is there a country that you're more successful in than the US? Like maybe Japan, perhaps, or something like that?
Germany.
That's a very good question. And, like, some of our products it kind of go with that theme too. Like, for instance, one product that was huge in Japan in particular was our Ika and Taco line, which are tentacle-based toys.
Yep.
And that's not something that's easily accessible, but, like, you know, we did see a lot of surge in Japan. Also, our Kaiji toy, Orochi, that was also a huge thing in Japan that we've gotten a lot of good praise and feedback from. But to kind of go back to your original question regarding like which country do we kind of find the most success for? It's definitely Canada is one of our big sellers, probably because like, you know, it's right next to the United States.
Yeah.
But also Europe and Australia are also really, really big countries with us.
Hockey and dildos up in Canada.
Right.
Now, obviously everybody's been affected by the current situation all over the world. Has it impacted you guys? I mean, I know you guys have like a banner or something on your website right now that like made to order toys or I'm reading it right. Made to order toys are temporarily unavailable. Click this banner for more information. Has it impacted you tremendously or is it just, you know, with special orders?
Definitely. It has hit us in a pretty substantial way. Right. First and foremost, our main priority amidst the changes and uncertainty with the pandemic was focusing on the well-being of both our employees and our customers.
Yeah, alike.
Sure.
Yeah.
So for like kind of like how we tackled it and how we made sure like, you know, that we were able to keep those in mind was first for our employees, we gave them paid leave and offered minimal volunteer slots for extra pay.
Okay.
For our healthy employees and issued strict policies and guidelines within the company itself to provide a more healthy work environment.
Well, that's tremendous.
And then
that's pretty cool. That's
tremendous.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. And then for kind of like alongside that for our customers, we continued working with this volunteer-based skeleton crew. That way we can get the orders out and continue operating with, of course, like, you know, the health and safety in mind for all packages going out. And this meant like every station having disinfectants, making sure that social distancing within the company was also met, gloves as needed, et cetera.
Well, I'm not sure if you saw the viral video or not of the Amazon worker very upset that they are still sending out dildos. But I feel like Bad Dragon needs to step in and say, we don't have a problem sending out our dildos.
Right, right. And like, it's funny because like, I've definitely seen those lines and like, you know, people always ask the question like, you know, well, are you guys essential workers then? Like, you know, is like, you know, dildos essential workers? And it's like, obviously we won't get into that. There's a lot of complexity to like, you know,
yeah,
that,
but
like,
of course.
There is like, you know, we are able to send out dildos still. And like, well,
There were a bunch of comments underneath that post that went viral of all women saying, don't tell me it's not essential.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, especially like, you know, since you're in quarantine, it's just like, you know, hey, like, you know, there is also like a mental positivity that you need to get from like
absolutely.
When being stuck like at home for like months on end.
Yeah,
so like, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Absolutely. That there should be like, you know, a essentiality for like, you know, adult toys.
I mean, I have my wife, but if I was stuck here by myself, I'd be losing my mind. I don't know what I would do. I would definitely be ordering up all the toys right now.
All right.
Did you guys have any experience in the adult industry prior to this?
Very minimal. So like, as I was mentioning, Varka, our founder, he did start this up after seeing an opportunity that lied in with people wanting to, you know, purchase like, you know, said products.
Right.
But in terms of like the entire scope of like, you know, the adult industry as a whole, we did not have prior experience, like, you know, heavy experience within the industry itself. Now, kind of looking back, there is definitely a positive aspect of that. Because we didn't really kind of get looped into like, you know, the game of it like early on or like, you know, really limit ourselves and like, you know, well, this is kind of the norm. This is how we should be doing. And that kind of helped us because being a niche company, we can't really follow those norms the same as other adult industry companies. So we really did pioneer a lot of our own like, you know, policies, procedures and how we really wanted to brand the company moving forward.
Are there certain states that you can't send to? Like, I know with me, even just sending out magazines, I can't send to, like, I think Utah, Alabama. Do you guys have that at all?
No. And that's kind of how we – and the reason being is because how we brand our toys itself, they are – silicone sculptures for the most part. And like, we don't use that term when it comes to domestic.
Right.
We just ship them out in brown packaging.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how it is with magazines, but we don't have to declare any items that are in the box. You're just purchasing from a company called Bat Dragon.
Okay.
Now on the box it says BD Enterprises, doesn't outright say Bat Dragon.
Right.
But you get the picture.
Yeah.
Right.
Now when it comes to international customers, however, there is some restrictions that we, or as well as like, you know, their own like, you know, customs and policies that we have to play around. Play with in order to like, you know, ship out to those countries.
Right.
We do have a, like a restricted country and even province guideline on our website. And they are kind of scattered, and it really is like, you know, flexible in terms of like, you know, well, when we see people like, you know, having a lot of issue with actually getting into the company, or when our shipping couriers kind of let us know, hey, your particular customer, your particular product as you're declaring it isn't really working out. We don't really have a different way of doing so to actually get it to this country. Therefore, we might be SOL. At that stage, we kind of like reflect and look at it, and then we add it to the list. Or there has been occasions where we take it off the list as well.
So I have a story going into what you had said, oh, that boy. they're a sculpture. Okay, mm-hmm. And I was teetering on whether or not to tell the story, but I'm going to tell it without revealing the person's identity. Okay, so I had someone very close to me. We were in the car. They got out of the car. They dropped a piece of paper. I went to pick up the piece of paper. Okay, this is a female. She picks up the piece of paper out of my hand. She like grabbed it out of my hand. She's like, don't look at this. And I'm like, what? What could it be? You know? And this is like someone that is not a sexual person, never dated anybody, like is like not the opposite of me, like is totally into the anime and all the comics and all the, you know, I guess like the, I don't want to say furry because I don't know enough about the community, but she's just into all of those types of things. And so anyway, I never knew it was on the piece of paper. Well, she was living with me at my house. When she moved out, she left some things behind, and I find this like miraculous, like
you found the paper?
An item that was very colorful and very not human like, but very much resembled a dildo.
Right.
And so I messaged her like, hey, do you want this? Like, what is this? And obviously I like, why hide anything from me? Like, look who I am. And she's like, it's a decoration. Like it's for like my shelves. She had it like up on a shelf and was just using it as display, like truly display, which was amazing to me. So people, I mean, and that's how beautiful they are. They really are very pretty, and they're really unique. And I also noticed that the quality of them is superb, because I've gotten one since then, and it's really nice. And that's another thing I actually don't have on the list of things to talk with you guys about. But how did you guys choose the products, the quality? Like, how did you guys decide, like, not only are we going to be in this specific genre, but we want to be better than everybody else's product?
Well, first, thank you very much for the kind words. Like, that's definitely been, since the inception of the company, kind of like the direction that both Varka as well as our board of directors wanted to make sure the company stood for, as well as the brand for the company. We definitely want to put the highest quality materials and body safety first and foremost from any products that we send out. So like for our toys, they are made with 100% platinum cured silicone. They're non-porous, hypoallergenic. Some of the actually, if not the like, you know, healthiest kinds of sex toys on the market.
I was telling Jimmy. Yeah. I said they have to be healthy, because maybe you could tell us what this is. So I notice a lot of my toys that are more flexible. Sorry to cut you off, but I just before I forget that have the more fleshy type material, they get almost like a sourness to them, and they like go bad. What is that other companies are using that you don't use? You guys use that 100% silicone.
Mm-hmm. So it is just that because we're using 100% platinum cured silicone, mm-hmm. there isn't any filler or any kind of other material that may like react differently or even degrade over time. So what you're experiencing with other toys is kind of like the hybrid silicone, or like, you know, the in general, it's just a mixture of different materials within it. Or like, you know, at face value, when you first like, you know, open up and like, you know, feel it, you're like, oh wow, this feels amazing. This feels like the real thing, blah, 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 blah. But in order to get it to feel that way, sometimes a lot of corners have to be either be cuts. They have to, like, you know, the product itself maybe isn't as safe, or, like, you know, does have chemicals that, you know, might be good, like, you know, over, you know, the first few months, even year. But then after that, it slowly kind of shows what it is, and, you know, the product degrades. And be that as, like, you know, maybe something like, you know, that they want you to, like, you know, try the new products or what have you. And again, like, you know, it's not within our realm regarding those materials, but, like, for us, we've always wanted to be, like, you know, body safety. We want this to be literally something that you treasure, be it, like, you know, an art piece, be it for your own body. We want it to be something that's high quality that you can keep for a very long time.
Absolutely. It's definitely a concern for mine, because it's like, if this is something that's going inside of my body, I feel like what other companies might be using when they're selling a toy for $17, you know, and then all of a sudden it's starting to get a weird smell. And even after washing it, it's just like a chemically texture and smell to it. I'm like, that's just not safe to go. And I just pitch them. I get rid of them.
She has, mm-hmm. She actually has a dildo coffin, Derek, that she,
I do.
She has a dildo / vibrator coffin that she has that she keeps. I don't know where she keeps it in her home, but it's about, it's about 150 pounds, she says. And
yeah.
And, I was like, you know, I started looking this week for, you know, little coffins on the internet, and I was going to send her one just so she can have it in a coffin itself.
That's awesome. Behold my dildo graveyard.
It is because all, you know, all the product promotions, but companies would send me all these things, and then like we were talking about the quality of the product. Well, if it sits in the package for 6 months or so, then it's already not good anymore. Exactly. So it gets sent to the graveyard. But speaking of all different products, what are the products that you guys are most excited about, or the lines that your company is putting out?
Oh, man. So, like, I know the cop-out answer is obviously, like, you know, all of our products. Yeah, like, all of our products are always, you know, incredibly excited to both create and then send out. But the reality of it is, like, what we really get excited for is a lot to deal with kind of, you know, when you get, like, you know, that inspiration or that click of, like, wow, this thing is going to be really, really cool. Maybe we can not only make, like, a product for this, but we can make, like, you know, a whole, like, you know, viral campaign for it.
Right.
So to kind of give an example, before the pandemic, we were launching a dong campaign, which was kind of like, you know, a satire off of Doom.
I was just going to say the stickers you have resemble the Doom emblem for the Doom video game.
Right. Exactly. So, like, we so things like that were, like, you know, it's a huge kind of campaign that, like, you know, we don't have it just, like, you know, for one product, but we have, like, you know, just a multitude and kind of, like, you know, an inner story that goes along with it that we're able to showcase and sell with it. Those, for me personally, I think is the most exciting product that we can make, because it's not only one, but we get to, like, you know, fiddle around and, like, you know, really kind of create this inner universe with the products. And that is always both on a creative level as well as just, like, actually seeing the products made and, like, you know, people's reactions to them and seeing that. That is what excites me the most.
And then also, coming from a queer woman, will you guys be offering strap-on harnesses or anything like that in the future to go along with the products?
So definitely, and that is probably our biggest request at the moment, is to develop something that is for, like, you know, strap-ons. Now, there's many different ways we can go about it, such as, like, you know, would it be only be usable by our products? Do we want something that can be compatible with, like, you know, different products?
Right.
No.
I know that there is VacuLock. Could there be something, like, you know, that's more universal like that?
I need to know what a VacuLock is, Derek. You got to explain to the layman.
So a VacuLock, there's a to kind of give, like, a quick explanation of it. Like, it's where it's basically your dildo becomes a key, where there's a specific and special hole that's drilled into the dildo, or it's cured with this hole in mind already. and you're able to attach it and vacuum seal it to a harness.
Bree, is that what you were talking about when we were looking at Satine's dick door? That you said there was a hole in the back of a lot of the dildos, so she's using
it as a strap-on? Yes, but a problem that I often run into, and why I'm so curious if Bad Dragon is going to come out with one, is that even what is quote-unquote high-quality harnesses for the strap-ons, see, the biggest problem is that it's not attached. So we can't feel it. So it's very important for it to be extremely secure, for it to sit tight up against the body for when there is penetration happening, that I can feel it on my end, that way I know exactly where it's at, how deep it's in. And if there were to be a strap-on that allowed for the person wearing it to feel exactly where it's at, that would be magnificent, and I have yet to come across that.
So when a strap-on, so if you're using a strap-on, you're basically just wearing a harness with a cock on it, and there's nothing inside of you. So where's the pleasure for the person who's using the strap-on aside from
Jimmy? We're not getting into that today. We are talking about they're getting into a whole psychological thing over here, but Jimmy's gonna get hate mail from the gays here an hour after this is posted on Saturday. But the quality though, so
absolutely.
So I'm thinking like Bad Dragon could definitely execute it if anyone could.
Well, thank you for that. And like you hit it right on the nail, Brie. Quality, when we want to approach this, we kind of only get one shot realistically, like in regards to like, you know, the brand as it comes. Obviously, we can do renditions and we will do renditions as it comes along to kind of perfect the product. But we want to make sure that first and foremost, it goes along with the brand of our company, which is high quality. And as you were mentioning, this needs to be good for both the user and the recipient. So we definitely want to keep that in mind when going for that. So, and I know like, you know, so since this is kind of like our most requested item, a lot of people are asking, well, you know, just why not pull the trigger? Like, you know, this is what you can do. Well, what we really want to do may or may not be actually on the market. So we are really being diligent and focusing on it. Like I can say this, that we are definitely working towards finding something that is a strap-on that will be usable with our products.
Oh, that makes me so excited.
Well, you just made somebody very happy.
Yes.
I can't believe I got scolded.
No, you didn't. We'll dedicate a whole podcast to it. Don't worry, Jimmy.
So Derek, is there a specific person at Bad Dragon that comes up with the designs, or is there like, you know, I'm so used to being in meetings at work and stuff like that, or is you guys sitting around a conference table and somebody comes in and is like, I just watched Stranger Things. We have to come up with a Demogorgon dildo. how does the creative process come about? And is there's just like, do you have like a group of guys in the corner that are like super creative that are coming up with this stuff? And I just because I saw the Demogorgon one, I was like, who came up with this? Because this is exactly what I would think a Demogorgon would look like.
So it really is like teams of people. It's a lot of brainstorming, as well as even like, you know, feedback from customers and fans alike.
Okay.
Regarding like, you know, hey, this thing is so cool, I wish you'd make this. Or like, you know, in meetings that we have for brainstorming, it's like, hey, this is something that I think we could really hit on the nail. And like, you know, it might be niche, like, you know, say it's like, you know, out there.
Yeah.
But hey, like, you know, what if we do it? Like, I have this idea. I have this inspiration. Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, there obviously will be discussion like, you know, on like, you know, the feasibility of it. Is there any kind of like loose ends? Like, you know, are we able to like, you know, time it right? And if all of those are met, we're like, hell yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big horror fan. Like, I love horror movies and stuff like that. So what struck me when I first went on the website, which was like 2 years ago when we did it on the first show I was doing, everything's very H.P. Lovecraft-esque kind of things. Is that like a huge inspiration for guys that are and girls that are designing these things? Or is it like furries and stuff like that?
So it is a lot of I kind of want to say both, because it is kind of like the team itself. Yeah. We are heavily based in like all our employees, as well as our creative team, is heavily based, like, you know, in the furry community, the internet in general, and just absolutely we're all nerds. Like, we love, like, you know, eating
fellow nerd over here. Like, you know, fellow nerd.
Right, right. Heck yeah, heck yeah.
Disclaimer, Jimmy's a civil engineer.
Oh, man.
Oh yeah, we didn't cram that into this podcast yet.
It's an ongoing thing.
It's an ongoing joke that I'm a civil engineer. So there we go. We got it.
But he really is though.
Awesome.
So I'm sorry. So the group that you have that comes up with this. So I really would love to sit in one of these meetings because I would just be like in awe of how of the talk of like Demogorgons and Cthulhu and stuff like that.
Oh man, it definitely is a riot. Like I've had my share of like, you know, meeting with them and like right. being able to like discuss, and like it is an absolute riot. Like we obviously like, you know, trying to maintain professionalism.
Yeah, of course,
professionalism and stuff.
You gotta also have fun. I mean, like I'm in construction, but you can't. People don't work hard when everything is serious all the time, and you guys are in a. An industry of giving people pleasure and making people happy, and that's how people should be when they're working on it, and it comes through in the products that you guys put out. You know,
you can tell you enjoy
what you
do, and that it's an interest.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you for that. And like I will say definitely like, you know, that is showcased early on, because we do have kind of a mantra where like, you know, early on. It is throw out all your ideas, all your passion, all your inspiration. We'll throw it against the wall, see what sticks. And then from there, we'll slowly be able to like, you know, okay, let's now make it feasible for like, you know, the real world.
Right.
How can we actually make this a reality? Mm-hmm. And then like, we'll kind of break it down from there. But you're absolutely right. Like the initial passion and the inspiration cannot be held back, cannot be chained up.
So
in order to make something that's really spectacular.
You have like every one of these has their own name, and obviously I know what the Demogorgon is, but I am not privy to like certain things. Do people out there know these by name, or do you guys come up with these names? Do you know what I'm saying? Like Votan, Baron, Oroki, or like are these real creatures, or are they something that people requested? Like do you guys get certain requests for creatures, and then you're just like you guys run with it, and you're like, this is great, we're gonna put this right in the line.
So all our names are unique to the character, and they are either created by our creative team, or we even sometimes, depending if we're kind of like at a cross, we'll put it up to votes among our staff.
Okay,
I love
to see like, you know, which name they kind of like, you know, like more or not.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. All the names, to my understanding, I don't think there's actually any. One individual toy that is not an original name.
I got to think Demon Dick came out pretty quick. I think everybody agreed.
Oh, yeah. That one was a pretty slam dunk. Definitely slam dunk Demon one. Dick.
Stan, on the other hand, I don't know how everybody came up with Stan.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bree and I are going through the website and everything, and we're loving everything. You know, we love the names of stuff. We love how colorful everything is, well crafted it is, and everything like that. The dildos with the cum tubes, okay, how do they work exactly? Is there, and this is probably for me more than anything, because I was just like sitting there, I'm like,
he could not get over it. Like Jimmy was like, no, but how do they work? I don't understand.
We're reading descriptions and everything like that. So you basically had the dildo on there or whatever it was. Yeah, it was a dildo and it had a tube, but there's like no pump or something like that. So, you know, how do those work?
So the big thing that comes with the cum tube toy is the syringe, okay. The soft tip syringe. Yep. So this syringe is what you put your fluid in. So like, you know, our cum lube, or like, you know, any kind of lubricant, or like, you know, water if you're cleaning the toy. Yeah. And then you stick at the end of the cum tube, the quote unquote cum tube, which is a very hard 100% platinum cured silicone tube.
Mm-hmm.
So you put it at the end and then you literally squirt it out.
You squirt it out by, how do you squirt it out of the tube is what I'm saying. So you fill up the tube with it, right?
Okay. So let's say
you fill up the syringe with it and then you push down on the syringe and then the syringe pushes forward.
I got it. I got you. Okay. I'm sitting.
Okay. So
at the end, somebody's sitting there squeezing the pump.
I'm still confused. So the civil engineer gets it now. I still don't get it. Okay, so let's say I'm having sex with my wife. I'm using this toy. I don't know.
So to kind of paint the picture, like so like you before engaging anything, you fill it up with the lube and then you attach the soft tip to the end of the cum tube.
Yes.
And then you just let it sit by you. Like you don't have to like, you know, touch or reach for it or anything like that. Okay. The tube is still attached to the toy.
Okay.
Now the tube is already molded into the toy. So like all the silicone is cured around it. And because it's the same material, it cures fairly naturally to the tube itself. Okay. So the tube is actually inside the toy and there is an open tip, at the end of the toy that, like, you know, the fluid can come out. So like you're doing your thing. And then when the moment strikes where you want to use it, you reach over to your side, like say it's like on your left-hand side. You grab the syringe and then you just lightly push into the syringe. That way the lubricant comes out of the other end of the toy.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Or just like do it like a little bit at a time. Just like,
exactly.
I love that.
Derek, we're going to have to talk offline. I'm going to have to, you know, because I want to know what I have to do to get my friend Brie a dildo so she can come on her wife's face. Because I know that's
a dream. Well, we'd love to send you one. We'd love to send you one.
I would love that. I'm so naughty. I'm just always like teasing her and going around with lotion bottles. And like, you know, I'm so obnoxious. And she sometimes she's kind of annoyed, but at the same time I think she secretly finds it endearing. So we'll find out for sure after I get one and try it out.
For sure. No, let's step up your game. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Brie couldn't stop talking about your cum lube. She said it was the best lube that she's ever used.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So, okay, so I was at a convention in Jersey and I actually, someone from Bad Dragon came over and gave me a bag, you know, like a gift bag of things. Mm-hmm. And the lube was in there and I was like, okay, sure, whatever. And then I had ran out of my own and I used it and I'm like, this is the best lube I've ever used. It's so good. And I love, like, because I still do like OnlyFans and Fan Centro, that it looks like real cum. So it's so aesthetically pleasing as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, no, like sure. Again, kind of like, you know, going back to like, you know, the quality and stuff, like cum lube has been with our company since the inception. That was definitely one of our first products that we made. And kind of going like, you know, the sort of inspiration, definitely like, you know, we had like, you know, the anthropomorphic character, but like, you know, in a lot of artwork, there is obviously depicting of like, you know, okay, like, you know, coming, like, you know, how can we get that ejaculation look and feel also high quality? So we went through many iterations of the formula for our cum lube, but I think we really kind of nailed it in terms of the look and feel just right. So thank 100%. You for that.
Yes. In Japan, I don't know if you would know that. Why would you know this? Okay. So on porn sets, they will make their cum on set and they will use an egg and other types of lube and they make the concoction and it's the same concoction that they make on every single set for porn because they don't actually ejaculate inside the woman or on the woman. They use this, this fake stuff. And I had never seen anything come close to that from Japan until I saw this. And it doesn't include an egg, which is great.
Right. Big bonus.
I was gonna say, you get for grocery shopping first before you make this cum.
Right. Yeah. Go down the market, get me a 12-pack of egg.
You know?
Do you guys sell just on your website or do you sell in stores as well, like brick and mortar?
So we do not sell on brick and mortar. We sell based off brick and mortar. We do sell exclusively on our website and we also do sell products on Amazon as well.
Oh,
okay. So the thing with Amazon, so, you know, there's so many fakes and dupes and all of that on Amazon now. How can people be sure to know that it's you guys on Amazon?
Great question. That is always hard, right? Because like I can tell you if it's listed from Bad Dragon, that is us. But there is, you know, a multitude of different ways that they, you know, kind of fake the name Bad Dragon going on there. That is an excellent question. We have been talking to Amazon regarding like, you know, how we can fix that, and especially in terms of like brand and opportunity for that.
Safest bet, go directly
on safest bet right is to go directly, yeah. Unfortunately. It really is that. I would also like recommend looking at customer comments. It is kind of like, you know, a full pronged attack where like both our community have been very supportive. Like I can't tell you how much I love both our fans and customers alike. Like there has been a lot of people that do outreach and go like, you know, hey, this is fake. This isn't the real Bad Dragon. That's even though like, true. They have the name the same. Yeah. Please don't buy from them. Yeah. We also like try to take strides into doing that as well. But it really is like, you know, I urge people to like look at reviews, look at the comments before purchasing, especially on Amazon, just to make sure that like, you know, hey, that this is legit.
That's very true, because even with makeup and other products, I'll look through the reviews and it'll be at the very top that someone will say, this is fake, don't buy, you know.
Right.
So yeah, it's pretty easy to sift through and figure that out.
So super nerd thing here, Derek. I love I love the fact that you guys have the Super Mario bricks as one of the designs for your for the question mark Super Mario bricks on here. That's crazy. That's pretty funny. Is that something that people could pick for a design on their dildo?
So I think you're referring to the surprise me option that we have.
Oh, is that what that is?
Like I'm thinking yeah. Like, dude, so the little avatar for that is like a question mark brick, and it is for a surprise me. Where if you don't know what color you want to do, and you do want to kind of like, you know, hit that surprise me brick, you will get like, you know, a color that our staff just makes. And we usually like, you know, we try to stray as best as we can. We try to stray from like, you know, obviously the, oh, they gave me a blue toy.
Right, that's great.
Well, we do try to make our surprise bees a bit more like, you know, okay, I think they'll like this. Okay. So then we'll be a bit more creative.
That's pretty cool. Meanwhile, I think you guys are making the Super Mario dildos.
Now we did one April Fool's. Oh, we did do a brick. It wasn't a Super Mario brick, but okay. We did do an actual like silicone brick.
That would I thought that. But I'm like, oh,
right.
This is for a civil engineer. What are
patents? Right.
What are?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Oh man.
What are the packers that you guys sell? What are those? It says stuff your shorts with something special.
Yeah. So the packers, they're toys that we have that are made in our super soft silicone, and for packers, they're specifically designed for trans people that want to facilitate, like, you know, having something down there, having a bulge, having a package down there. There are a wide variety of packers also that can simulate, like, you know, going to the bathroom and like basically normalizing for all trans men wanting to, you know, have that.
Okay.
So like our packers, unfortunately, we don't have them to where they can simulate that, but they do give the feel and likeness of actually having a bulge down there.
Gotcha.
So speaking of that, I imagine that you are very popular in the LGBTQ community. How has it been working with those customers, being such a huge ally for them? And are you guys involved in the community in other ways as well?
Certainly. A great question. And definitely the LGBT plus community has been outstanding in regards to not only support, but also like providing feedback and like, you know, how we can like really kind of outreach and branch our company towards. Like, to answer your question, we have been outreaching. The All Porn Award, there's been a few porn awards, the Trans Exotic Award, the T Show, the Trans Erotica Award Show. We have been part of, we spoke at, we've received awards at All Porn. They've been outstanding.
That's awesome.
No, they've been absolutely great. Like the in terms of like local community, we do also outreach to our local LGBTQ community out here in Phoenix. However, we because of the nature of our business, there has been surprisingly some pushback in relating to that. So we have been kind of like taking a step back as it comes to that. But any kind of like opportunity
that we can have. Wait, there's been a pushback in your area?
Well, in regards to like the local like commerce community, not in regards to the actual community here in Phoenix, Arizona, but like, you know, more of like, you know, the business side of LGBTQ community here in Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
And the reason being is because of the adult products.
Okay. And then since you said your location, I didn't know if you were comfortable with that. What the heck are you guys all doing in Arizona? We did not expect that.
Yeah, definitely.
No, so like, Funny because like so going back to Barker or Jan is his real name. He's from Europe, so like it is kind of funny that like, you know, we're all based around here in Phoenix, Arizona. A lot of it had to deal with since the company first started, we didn't really have a lot of like, you know, shareholders or stakeholders in regards to like, you know, really ramping up production and starting it off. Mm-hmm. So we did have to be kind of strategic on where we should start out and like what state would be the best to facilitate us starting up the company.
That makes sense.
So Phoenix, Arizona was definitely on that list, and we did end up going with Phoenix, Arizona.
I love that.
I love that you guys have a tape measure.
Oh, yeah.
They have a tape. I love how Jimmy's just still going through the website. He's fascinated. This civil engineer has never seen anything like this in his life.
Tape measures and teeny weenies, which I think are funny because people can collect them as like little action figures.
Ooh, right, they should get put in like an animal egg, and then you can open them up and open each one and see the surprises inside. Like how they sell, it's really big now on TikTok.
Oh, yeah,
they have these eggs where they have the little suit, like a little milk carton, a little thing of Dawn dish soap,
yep.
And you open each one like an orange peel.
My kids love that stuff, yeah.
No, that's awesome. And we did do, oh man, years back, you guys are taking me down memory lane because back in 2009, we did do something like that where we had plastic eggs and we hid our teeny weenies inside said plastic eggs.
Oh my gosh, you guys are ahead of the game.
Yeah. And the only unfortunate part with that, it was they kept on breaking open because there is still some density, even though they're really small with our teeny weenies.
Yeah.
And because of the density, it did kind of break apart. So we had to tape around the egg in order to make it so it doesn't break open. But then it kind of like defeated the magic in essence. So then we're just like, this is kind of like, you know, a quirky thing that we can do. But like, you know, let's stop it. Like, you know, I think people would like it, you know, a bit better if it was just out of the open. The idea from that originally didn't come from Easter, but rather, do you guys know, like, you know, those science shops or like, you know, other like random shops that have like, you know, the dinosaur eggs?
Oh, yeah.
Like you can open it up and like, you know, it shows the dinosaur. Yep. That's the idea where that came from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I mean, kids these days, like Bree said, you know, all over TikTok are doing these like surprise eggs and surprise bags.
It's not even just kids. There's like 45-year-old women going and buying these things, you know, like Kayla wanted to buy them. And I'm like, we are not wasting our money on getting little mini Dawn dish soaps. Like, no.
Right.
You do have some awesome products that aren't like sex products, like even like the hats and the glasses and stuff like that. And the mugs are all really cool stuff. You have some great stuff on here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. A lot of it, like, especially like, you know, when it comes to like, you know, just outside of our toys, like a lot of our merchandise and accessories, there is a lot of laborers of love or like, you know, kind of like, you know, pokes of fun, like, you know, kind of letting our creativity show, where we can do that on those. So like, you know, cause obviously creating a mainline toy, there's a lot of, time and investment that goes into it. And even some risk depending like, you know, if the toy will work out well or not.
Yeah.
But for kind of these products, like, you know, these merchandise and accessories, we can kind of like, you know, poke fun and like, you know, see where it sticks a bit more easily. So definitely you'll see a lot of those little quirky things out on our website.
It's awesome.
Now you got me looking at everything. we're back to just looking at the website.
Where did she go? Yeah, there's some great stuff on there. And, you know, like I said, at first, you know, when we were on the website last week or the week before, we were going through some of the stuff and I was like, they have hockey pucks, but they were the sample discs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, tomato, right? Like the sample discs are basically hockey pucks.
I was like, they have hockey pucks too.
But right. A former hockey player here, like he just sees the hockey puck. I'm like, that's such a great idea, though, because – and that also just goes to show, like, the quality of your products that you are sending things out. Like, I'm getting my furniture from Restoration Hardware, which is, like, such a nice high-end furniture company. And I'm like, they're sending out samples the same way, like, a high-end, you know, place would send out samples. Yeah.
Thank you. No, thank you for that.
That's really cool. So for the future of Bad Dragon, where do you guys see yourself going?
So great question also. Like, due to the pandemic, obviously it's a little shaky regarding timing. Yeah. Like, you know, where we'll be going, like, you know, our next products, because our time frame has been shifted on how we want to release.
Sure.
But we're also kind of like at the At the whims of other companies, like, you know, third-party vendors are the people that, like, you know, are making accessories products for us, as well as our suppliers. So a lot of that is sort of shaky in regards to anything that's, like, you know, solid or that I can actually speak to at the moment. Sure. But we do, I do want to assure, like, you know, everyone that, like, we are planning on having a lot of cool things happen as the pandemic kind of, like, you know, rolls over and we can kind of really boost and ramp up production again. Now, I will say 2021, oh my goodness, certainly we have, like, an absolute ton of cool ideas that we're really excited for.
We'll have to have you back on when you guys get these products out. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I'd love to.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on and talking with us today. This has been so fun.
Yeah, this has been
absolutely
fun. Appreciate.
No, thank you guys. Like, this has been great. I really appreciate the opportunity of you guys speaking with Bad Dragon and, like, you know, being able to, like, you know, showcase, like, not only our company, but also our brand and what we stand for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just to be clear, there is a dash between Bad and Dragon, correct? For baddragon.com?
Yep.
Let me confirm too, because, like, I always know the answer until I'm asked, right?
Okay.
So it is bad-dragon. Yes. bad-dragon.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, maybe that's where I slip it up. I think it is bad_dragon. Let me confirm that too before I stalk. Yes. bad_dragon for our Twitter.
Okay, cool.
Excellent. We will be following you.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you guys. Thank you very much.
Right.
If I could say something to, like, sure, you know, both your viewers as well as just everyone in general, like, we can't like appreciate like how much like thankfulness and, like, you know, just really raw appreciation of people supporting us and, you know, being positive and understanding amidst the pandemic. Like, when it comes to, like, their orders, as well as, like, you know, we did have to close down our customs line. So we just, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you very much, everyone, for that.
Aww, so sweet too.
This has been very informative. This was a lot of fun for me because I was unaware of how you guys came up with your products and everything. And this has been really, really fun for me and informative.
No, very I appreciate cool. you guys. Like, and, like, thank you. I always love it when people ask about, like, you know, the product, like, you know, have interest or, like, you know, and we can have a platform to actually talk about it. Because as I was mentioning earlier on in the interview, there isn't really a means that we can do that easily when it comes to just marketing the product amidst, like, you know, the sea of other things within the adult industry. So we really appreciate this opportunity to be able to kind of, like, speak on behalf of, like, what we are and, like, really showcase and kind of play around with too, like, you know, what products we have.
No problem at all. This was great, and we'll definitely we'll be talking about Bad Dragon for a long time.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
All right, thanks, Derek. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.